We want to be able to stay connected with you. You can watch our Sunday services on Facebook, YouTube and our website. You can also listen to them on Spotify, Google Podcasts and Apple iTunes. If you don't have internet access, you can use your dial-in service by calling 028-9227-0922 and listening in. Let's stay connected. Good morning. Welcome to St. Columba's in Deira Volga here in the Belsize Road in Lisburn. My name's James and I'm the minister here. You're very welcome to worship with us this morning. Worship is one of those things that we describe, I suppose, in many ways whenever we come together to do this. But yet worship is so much more than that, isn't it? It's every aspect of our lives, every hour of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year. So as we gather today, one of the things we want to do is read scripture over us, because that's very, very powerful. So we gather today reading the psalm appointed for today, Psalm 86. Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am devoted to you. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all the day long. Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. So hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In a day of trouble I will call to you, and you will answer me. Among the gods there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvellous deeds. You alone are God. That's the uniqueness of the Christian faith. We believe in the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that he is one, and that he is unique and marvellous and glorious and majestic. And we could go on with our descriptions all day long. But as that psalm encourages us, we call to him. We bring our prayers and our devotions to him, that he might have mercy on us. This is also Father's Day. And so for those out there who are dads, I'm sure maybe you all have breakfast in bed and have already been spoilt rotten. Today I'm just about to take a look at some of my children to see if they did that for me. But we're recording this earlier in the week, so I'm not sure if that's happened yet. But we want to pause at the beginning and just take a moment of reflection on what the magnitude of this day for a range of different men in our congregation and indeed in the church, universal and worldwide. Traditionally, today is a time to celebrate our fathers and the fatherhood of God. But for many, this time comes with painful associations with fatherhood, feelings of inadequacy or loss. Yet in Christ, we are given both comfort and family. We have come together today to give thanks to God for all those people who have nurtured us and to offer ourselves to nurture others with God's help. We have also come to acknowledge the pain of a hurting world where we failed to nurture each other. We come to receive again from the God of compassion and mercy. As we do each week, we come before a God of mercy, seeking that his hand of forgiveness would be upon our lives. Lord God, we have sinned against you and we've done wrong in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sin and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And it's wonderful to know that the Lord's arms are open and full of forgiveness and mercy today as we continue to worship him. As we continue this series in 1 Peter, today's theme is, or title is, Cleanliness in a Dirty World. I don't know about you, but over the last number of months, I've never used more of these, or actually in our house, it's more of a bar of soap. as you drive down a motorway now, big neon signs telling us to remember to wash your hands. Cleanliness has become something of a natural thing to us. But the bit that always strikes me at that point is, why did some people have to be told to wash their hands? Surely everybody should have been washing their hands in the first place. But the Bible speaks about cleanliness, about God cleaning us and making us pure again. But that's different from washing our hands. We wash our hands because our hands are dirty and it's all washed off. God's bringing of cleanliness into our lives is whenever a sacrifice of him on a cross allows the sin, the wrong that we've done in our lives to be washed away, and that we've got a fresh, clean, new start. And since that's what we've just prayed about in our confession, seeking that God would forgive us and that he would have mercy on us. So I wonder, as you continue to wash your hands, and maybe you've been singing a little song to help you, maybe you've been singing happy birthday as you've washed your hands, whatever it is that you do, next time you turn the tap on and you put a little bit of soap in your hands to wash your hands, remember that the Lord also wants to make us clean. And the way that he does that is that by we receive what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in our lives. And that's really important for us. Not just to be clean on the outside, but to be clean on the inside as well. And we'll hear a little bit more about that later on in our service. But for now, we're going to hear the next part of 1 Peter read to us.
The reading today is taken from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 21. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God.
So over the last number of weeks, we have been looking at the book of 1 Peter with the title of Securing Hope. Hope is, in a sense, the breath that the Christian breathes. It's the air that we suck in that makes us different from the people around us. As we heard a couple of weeks ago, it makes us distinct from other people, because we can hope in all situations and circumstances. And so we've been encouraged to raise this banner of hope over us, where our perspective shifts, if you like. And there's a great wee video on our Facebook page and website about how our perspective can shift. Take a wee look at that after this service as well. Last week we looked at the fact that it was glory all the way, that we were born for glory, that we've been kept for glory, and that we've been prepared for glory, and that we can enjoy God's glory now, that it all points to him, that wonder and awe of a glorious God that we worship. And this week it's cleanliness in a dirty world. See, the Bible says that we are to remain pure or clean in the midst of everything that we face. And that's an hourly struggle, not just a daily struggle or a weekly struggle or a monthly struggle, and probably not even an hourly struggle, actually. It can be a struggle minute by minute, that we are to remain pure and clean, because temptation is all around us. Our culture is tipping over the edge of preferring what the Bible calls perverse over what the Bible describes as pure. And that goes across the board. That's not just in our sexual activity, but that's across the board, that our habits can be more perverse than they need to be. That our thought process can be more perverse than it needs to be. In one sense, what the Bible's describing there is that we should think and act in certain ways because we're believers, we're Christians, but because of the sin in the world and the temptation in our lives, that is twisted a little bit. And because it's twisted, it's become a little bit perverse. And so that word perverse is used not just in a specific manner, but in a general manner. So how do you remain clean? How do you stay pure? Well, that's what we're going to look at now. See, the Bible describes this as being holy. Now, we'll never be perfect. I know that's really hard to believe, that James Boyd's not perfect. But you probably just need to ask my wife and my children, or anybody else that knows me, and you'll realise that I'm not perfect. None of us can be perfect. And so holiness is not perfection. Holiness in a biblical understanding is whenever we begin to walk with God and we begin to inhabit and inhabit his nature as best we can as humans. Whenever we strive to become more like Jesus. Whenever we are holy just like he is holy. Whenever we put him first and ourselves last. See, firstly, Peter urged us to walk in hope. That's what the last couple of weeks have been about. Now he turns his attention to us walking in holiness. You find that in verse 15 of today's reading. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. Now, what does this look like? Well, we find that in verses 13 and 14. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. In other words, because we have been born into God's family, and we're going to look at that next week, but because we've been born into God's family, we are no longer in ignorance. We know who he is. We understand what he has done for us. We are beginning to grasp the magnitude of what it means to live for him. Because of that, the Bible says that we are to walk in holiness. We're to be obedient children. Easier said than done, James. Totally true. I get that. I think there's three steps for us today in this process of ensuring that we are clean in a dirty world, ensuring that we are walking in holiness. First one's found in verse 16. It says, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Be holy because I am holy. We are to follow the pattern of holiness that is set out for us. Set out in the Levitical law in the Old Testament. We're to be holy because God is holy. Not to live in ignorance and to walk away from him or to be twisted in what it is that we think. But actually the key to be holy because I am holy is the first couple of words of verse 16. For it is written. For it is written. Billy Graham, one of the greatest evangelist of our generation, often used these words, the Bible says. Now, when I first heard Billy Graham using those phrases over and over again, I kind of thought, oh, Billy, you could have thought of a different wee phrase, couldn't you? But actually, there's something in it. And the more you listen to Billy preaching and the more you hear him say it, you realise and you understand what Billy Graham is teaching and saying and preaching is not from him. It's not about him. It's what the Bible says, the rule and the guide for us as Christians. That's why here, as it is written, be holy as I am holy. Follow what is written. Be obedient children, as it says in verse 15. So the first step is to follow what is written. because what is written in the scriptures are filled with promise. Nuggets for our daily living, for our words and our actions. Challenge, conviction, to ensure that we grow in holiness. And if you give me grace to say this statement, if you've just thought, but I'm okay, then maybe you're not. Because none of us will be perfect. And there's always another step that we can take on the road of walking in holiness with the Lord. So the first step is to believe what it says in the Bible and to walk in it. The second step is found in verse 17. Since you call on a Father who judges each man or woman's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. The Lord is our judge. So the second step is to be mindful that the Lord is our judge. Judges each person's work impartially. Live your lives as strangers in reverent fear. Remember in the first session of this First Peter book, we talked about being strangers, aliens, sojourners, that we're not made or destined for this world, that we're made for a different world. We're only travelling through. But we're to live in reverent fear. We've lost the fear of the Lord. Our culture has lost the fear of the Lord, but also parts of the church has lost the fear of the Lord. Not a fear where we cower in the corner that we're going to get beaten, but a reverent fear, as it says here in 1 Peter, a reverent fear that looks to God, that understands who he is, that he is sovereign and in control, and that we need to listen to him. And so comes a reverent fear. Now, in a narcissistic world, the idea that someone else can judge me is outrageous. Isn't it? In a narcissistic world, in a selfish world, in a world that places the self above everything and everyone else, that my thoughts, my emotions, my feelings are paramount and foremost, and what I think is true and true alone. The thought and the truth in that someone else has the ability to judge me, has the right to judge me, is outrageous. And therefore, I'll kick up a storm. But the Bible says that the Lord has the right to judge us. He's the maker of heaven and earth. He created you and I. He knit us together. We need to have a reverent fear that he has the right to judge us. And that reverent fear that he is judge and Lord of all can help us in our walk in holiness. So step one, it is written, believe what it says. Step two, the Lord will be our judge. Let's relearn a reverent fear of him. And step three is found in verses 18 through to 21. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He has chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Step three is the love of God. His love for us and our love for him. I keep saying through all of this that whenever people know that they are loved by you and by Jesus, that will be the beautiful legacy that comes out of this awful mess. When we understand and know that the Lord loves us, even though he will be our judge, he loves us immensely and immeasurably. Our focus shifts. I would never in all of my psyche and in all of my being, in the depths of my soul, do anything that I believed would harm either my wife or my children. Consciously do it. Because I love them to bits. And the same then is true in our love for the Lord. Because we love him, because we grow in love and our depth of our love becomes so deep that we cannot do anything that would strike against him, then our walk in holiness with him increases on a daily basis. And we fall deeper in love with him. And as we fall deeper in love with him, holiness, a sense of doing the right thing, a sense of becoming more like him, a sense of understanding what is written and being obedient to it, a sense of increasing our reverent fear of who he is and what he has done and what he will do in judgment for us, our love for him increases, and so our walk of holiness increases. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Your love for God will drive your decisions on an hourly, daily, weekly, monthly basis. Your love for God will make us think about his authority in our lives. Your love for God will determine how you live your life. So in a dirty world, how clean are you? Can I encourage you this week to read and reread Psalm 51, a psalm that King David wrote after his adulterous affair with Bathsheba. As he fell on his face before the Lord, he cried out, "Create in me a pure heart, O Lord." And in that psalm, we hear the depths of cry of a man, an individual who wants to be right before the face of God. Can I encourage us all, preacher included, to read and reread and pray and repray that psalm this week as we increase our holiness and our walk of holiness with the Lord. You see, it's time to raise that banner of hope over us, as it says in 1 Peter 1:21. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Let's raise a banner of hope over us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for who you are today and for all that you have done for us. We thank you that you're the God of light and love. And we pray especially for all who find this day painful. We pray for fathers who watch over children who are ill. And for children who watch over their suffering fathers. You remember fathers who are apart from their children? And fathers who grieve because their children have died. For those who longed for children, for those without their fathers because of illness or death, and who in their longing know themselves to be alone. We pray today for children who are abused or neglected, for children who are missing their fathers on this day, for those who suffer the impact of family breakdown. And we ask that you would be a light in the darkness. You bring your tenderness and your compassion. Surround us all in your loving embrace and hold us always in your care. We commit our struggling world and the conflicts that spoil our relationships into your hands. Maybe today we recall situations from across the world or closer to home that have struck a chord with us in our TV screens or in their net feeds or in the radio, and pray for those situations. We pray for people who we know who are sick, for those who are close to death, and we ask for peace. Pray today for those who grieve. Remembering especially the Atchison family. We also want to pray for all those who offer us love and compassion and nurture us into growth and wholeness. We give you thanks for them today. May we walk more faithfully with Jesus and follow his example of holiness to the foot of the cross, to the foot of our own cross, where we leave ourselves and onwards into the light of resurrection hope, as there is a new banner over us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to seeing you again next week. If you need anything during the week, please drop us a wee line at info@deravolgi.com, or you can phone 0289252842 and leave a message. Please don't forget to hook into our website or our Facebook page, where there's lots of stuff going on during the week. We close today with the collect that's been appointed for today. Lord, you have taught us that in all our doings without love are nothing of worth. Send your Holy Spirit and pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of love, the true bond of peace and of all virtues, without which whoever lives is counted dead before you. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.